9, beginning reading with verse number 19. Of course, Saul has just been converted. The Christian killer, the church persecutor. He's been saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, if Saul can be saved, the most vile sinner can be saved. And it's the same way that Saul was saved through the Lord Jesus Christ. We see in verse number 19, and when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples, which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Now, Paul didn't waste no time. Verse 21, but all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them, which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest? It's a logical question. Verse 22, but Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. The message he is preaching, the converted life, is proving in the minds of people, this truly was Jesus Christ. Verse number 23, and after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them, coming and going out at Jerusalem. In verse 29, he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Tonight, I want to preach a message I've entitled, Proven or Propped Up? Proven or propped up. Father, help us tonight as we look into your word. May we be helped by your spirit this evening. Father, already we've been challenged. Already we've been stirred. And Father, I pray that you would just take what's preached tonight and just use it on top of what we've already been helped with. And Father, I pray that we would just be encouraged and challenged to go out and do more for you. And Father, may we truly seek your empowering, seek your favor, do what we do for you and for your cause. We ask this in your name. Amen. The conversion of the Apostle Paul was certainly miraculous, and it was the beginning of a consecrated life to God. What often gets lost in his great ministry is his start as a Christian and as a preacher. He did not get saved on Sunday and go on a missionary journey on Monday. He had to grow as a Christian and prove himself first to God, to others, and finally to himself. This is a good reminder that that convert, you don't know what God's going to do with them. I don't know what God's going to do with them. Paul no doubt faced the judgment, doubt, criticism, and unfortunately the shunning that sometimes Christians face from the brethren. Now, before we're too harsh, if Saul, the church persecutor, the Christian killer, walked into your church and mine and said, I've been born again, you and I would be a little suspicious. You and I would be a little careful. You and I will feel led to say, you go teach him in Sunday school, we'll stay over here. But this story gives us insight that here weren't bad people, but there were some little people. What do I mean by that? They could not see past their own insecurities and their own limitations. In short, these were those that were propped up by the crowd. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. These that were suspicious of Paul, the Lord calls them disciples. These were not bad people. These were needed people. These were doing something for the Lord. They were not Paul's enemies, nor was Paul their enemy. But because they were suspicious of Paul, they didn't fully embrace Paul, as now hundreds of years later we say they should have. But they were insecure and they were not comfortable enough to embrace this one named Paul. However, they desired the comfort of the crowd and the advancement of familiarity in their service to God. It was understandable that the church that Saul once persecuted was suspicious and wanted him to prove himself. But what they didn't understand was that Paul was willing to prove himself, not to them, but to his Savior who saved him, in spite of his working against him. See, Saul was willing to serve the one who saved him. Nobody had to remind Paul who he was. Nobody had to remind Paul what he did. Paul knew what he was. Paul knew what Jesus had done for him. And Paul was just trying to serve the Lord. We see right away he gets busy. And as I get in this today, we see that there is a crowd of disciples that just would not fully embrace him. Think about how Paul must have felt. Now, we can justify, we can understand, and certainly we can see from the viewpoint of here's somebody, maybe there's some in those disciples who they had a loved one that Paul put in prison. They had a loved one that was put to death at the hand of Paul. So let me say, I understand why they would feel that way. But may I also say that if the Jews could see that Christ had changed him, if the Jews were convinced by his life and ministry, doesn't it make sense that the disciples should have been convinced that he was truly born again? Friend, let me insert here that when we think of the title of proven or propped up, let me say it is God that proves you and that man that props you up. What we ought to be seeking as a man of God, as a child of God, is the proving of God and not to be propped up by a crowd. We have to be careful. We long for a crowd. We long to be part of a group. We long to be part of the club. But friend, we have to be careful because we'll only rise to the level of the crowd. We'll only be what they are. Let me say it like this. It's easy to get propped up in a crowd. It's easy to prop somebody else up and have somebody prop you up. This is the crowd that we're speaking of. Likewise, there's the same crowd today that desire to serve God but want to be propped up to do it. They want advancement without paying a price. They want position with no track record. They want prominence without sacrifice. They want a membership card without paying any dues. These are the ones who think they should be given a pulpit simply because they are called. These are those who want a recommendation for a ministry position somewhere when they aren't faithful to ministry where they are. These are the churches who can only exist within a convention, a fellowship, or a crowd. These are the preachers who would rather lean against another preacher doing the bare minimum so they can prop each other up. This is the Christian who wants the title of teacher and likes to teach but is unwilling to prove their loyalty to the church or earn the respect of a class by their consistent walk with God. Stay with me tonight. Tonight in the sermon are proven Christians that have been unwilling to be propped up with groups or associations for ease and prominence. So why are you preaching this message? I'm preaching this message because if we're going to do what we need to do for God, if we're going to fulfill a unique calling on each of our lives, then we're going to have to be willing to let God prove us and not depend on man to prop us up and to give us validation Tonight, perhaps I'm speaking to a young man, a young lady, or a young couple who desires to serve God, but you just seem to be at the back of the line. Maybe there's a pastor who is just trying to be faithful, but he doesn't quite fit in his local association. He's the oddball at his college reunion. Now, that could be just because you're weird, but let me say, don't sell out to be propped up. Amen. Don't sell out to be included. Again, I'm not criticizing the disciples. I'm not being critical and harsh to the disciples at Damascus. If we're honest, we would have been suspicious. If we're honest, we'd have kept Paul at arm's length. My attention wants to be on Paul tonight in the fact that he didn't look at that crowd and condemn that crowd like he once did because they did not receive him as he would have wanted to receive. You say, how does that apply? Because that wasn't his focus. His focus was to serve the Lord. His focus was to go right back to the Jews and argue with them about who is the Christ, who is the Son of God. Let me just say this before we get to some sort of an outline tonight. There's propped up Christians don't turn the world upside down. Proven ones do. Churches that are more concerned with their standing amongst other churches and the local association that are doing the greatest possible work for God do not fill their Jerusalem with His doctrine. Let's look at some things here that help me. I hope they'll help you tonight. Number one, let me say the proven are willing to do the work over time, while the propped up want to be enabled now. Now, stay with me. I'm not talking about the wrong crowd. The right crowd could be a hindrance to you if you don't do everything that God wants you to do. Now, by the way, stay out of the wrong crowd. Stay away from the wrong crowd. But the proven are willing to do the work over time. Look at verse 22 and 23. But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Verse 23, and after that many days were fulfilled. We see it at the end of verse number 19. He was with the disciples for a period of time. He took the time to grow. He took the time to let God prove him instead of trying to fast-track to be accepted into the crowd, to be fast-tracked, to be validated by a crowd. He said, I'll let God prove me because I know I'm saved. I know there's a call on my life. Hey, let's be honest. We all want to be accepted. We all want to be liked. But friend, that's not necessary if God is trying to prove us. Maybe God is allowing some things in your life, some hardships, some heartaches, or seems like some desert days, if you will. Let God prove you. That is better than letting man prop you up. Well, I don't ever have any problems. Well, the chances are you're propped up by a crowd. You're propped up by a group of people. You're propped up by other people instead of letting God prove you. It takes growth over a period of time. There might be a young preacher here and you hear these other men preach and say, I need to be doing that next Sunday. Well, if you can do it, well, you can't even do it, so we're not even going to go there. It takes growth. It takes time. It takes willingness to submit, to let God prove you. Number two, we notice the proven are willing to perish. It's interesting when you think of Saul who killed Christians. Why did he kill them? Because they were arguing that Jesus was Christ. He was the Messiah. He was the Son of God. When Paul got saved, God made him a new man, but God did not erase his memory. If Paul knew why he killed Christians, he probably knew what he was putting himself in for when he went to do what they were doing when he was killing them. But he was willing to perish. Look at verse number 23. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. Friend, let me just remind you, it doesn't matter if we get a Republican president, a Republican Congress, a Republican local government. If we're truly preaching Christ, this world is never going to accept us. This world is never. So, well, I can get along. I try and get along with everybody, but usually all you have to do is say, Jesus is Lord. He's the only way to heaven, and everybody's going to try and kill you. I don't see many Bible King James Baptists with coexist bumper stickers. It's hard to coexist with everybody else on that bumper sticker is trying to kill you. He made enemies, and he didn't change because he had made enemies. Now, don't go trying to make enemies, but you will make enemies. I don't have to tell you this. If you're preaching the gospel in your town, somebody's not going to like it. Somebody in the local government's not going to give you building permits. Somebody's going to hassle you. But he was willing to stand in the midst of opposition and enemies. In verse 23 through 25, we're familiar with the story. The Jews took counsel to kill him. They laid wait for him. They watched the gates. They were serious about this. The disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in the basket. Those disciples in Damascus are an interesting group to me. They're disciples. The Lord calls them disciples. But they didn't readily accept Paul. It's interesting that when it came down to choose the Jews or Paul, they helped Paul. But you don't find them ever including Paul. Maybe they thought, and maybe I'm not being fair, but maybe as they said, we're going to lower you down. Maybe some of them are thinking, thank God we're finally going to be rid of this guy. Let me ask an obvious question, obvious to me. Why weren't the Jews trying to kill those disciples? Why weren't they laying in wait for all of them? Now, I understand Paul had a unique set of gifts, and Paul's going back to the very crowd he was in. I understand that. But he was proving himself enough that those Damascus disciples helped him. We go verse 29, after he leaves Damascus, in verse 29, we find him, he hasn't learned his lesson. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, but they went about to slay him. See, if you're going to not be propped up, you've got to be willing to perish. If you're going to launch out into the deep, you've got to be willing to put a target on yourself. Because let's be honest, all the disciples don't always stick their necks out. Well, there's safety in numbers. I agree. But God didn't call us to be safe. He called us to do a work for Him. See, the threats did not change him. It's amazing to me that so many preachers who they'll stand in their pulpit and they'll scream and shout, but let somebody say something bad about them on Twitter or on social media, and then they will back off. They'll cancel somebody from preaching for them. They'll not go to some place because, you know, they've got the boldness in the pulpit, but let somebody threaten them. Friend, you're not the first one to be threatened. You won't be the last, I promise you. You're not that special. If you preach the name of Jesus, there's going to be a price to pay. And if we're going to let God prove us, hey, all the enemies can threaten, but when God sustains you, when God delivers you, there's something that those Jews eventually said. He's been arguing with us. Look at the change in him. He has to be the Christ. Jesus has to be who he says he is. Otherwise, we couldn't see this in Paul. And so, friend, when God proves you and God delivers you and God continues to grow you in your life, that is proof enough. You don't need a crowd to put their stamp of approval. You don't have to have your alma mater call you back to preach. You don't have to have the local preachers association give you an endorsement when God proves you. Number three, the proven do not look at the crowd as a way to get ahead. This is interesting. As I was studying this not too long ago, I had not seen this before. If I did, I hadn't paid much attention to it. Paul is let down out of the wall. He leaves Damascus. Verse 26 tells us when Saul was come to Jerusalem, now he's at Jerusalem. He essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. Now, bear in mind, these are the disciples of Jerusalem. This is the premier club of disciples. These aren't just disciples. These are the disciples of Jerusalem. This is home base. This is where it all took place. This is where the crucifixion, the resurrection, this is where Pentecost was. This is home base. These are the Jews that are now the disciples of Jerusalem. Now, watch carefully. When he got there, the Bible tells us that they were afraid of him. Again, understandably so. But they were not checking out Paul to see if they were going to let Paul in their group. Paul was checking them out to see if he would join their group. Look at that word essayed. He essayed to join himself to the disciples. That doesn't mean he was begging to get in. Doesn't mean he was asking to get in. It means he was studying and discerning who they were. Please don't miss this. They were suspicious of not accepting him. These were not bad people. Don't miss me wrong. Don't get me wrong. A lot of things I've said, and even this morning, some of the things I said in the message this morning, I'm not talking about unsaved people. The Lord calls them, it's there in your Bible, He calls them disciples. To be a disciple, when God calls you a disciple, you have to do more than wear a WWJD bracelet. God says they're disciples. There's something to that. But Paul was still wise enough to say, here's a crowd of disciples, but I'm going to study and I'm going to discern if this is the crowd that I should belong to. And friend, if you'll permit me tonight, we need to do a little more assaying with the crowds who still even have the King James Bible. They still have the boxes checked on the website. But we ought to have some discernment to say, this is not the crowd that's going to help me fulfill what God has for me. This is not the crowd that's going to allow me to see the people saved that I could be saved. This is the crowd that's going to choke me because they don't trust me. This is a crowd that's going to say, Paul, stand in the corner for a little while, and we'll let you out of time out when we learn how to trust you. But Paul had already been arguing with the Jews. Paul had already been proven by God, but now Paul was wise enough to look at a crowd of disciples and discern. They're going to keep me from fulfilling God's will for my life. Not bad people. But they did not, if I can say it like this, have the spiritual maturity to accept Paul into their group, if you will. See, Paul did not look at the crowd as a way to get ahead. Paul was not looking for speaking engagements. Paul was not looking for a crowd that he could take advantage of. Paul was not looking to move up the ladder. See, if you've allowed God to prove you, you don't need a crowd to do what it is that God has for you to do. However, if you refuse to let God prove you, you have to have a crowd to stay propped up. You have to have a crowd to help you. Hey, we're the disciples. Are we not bad people? Good people. They needed the disciples. The disciples were still preaching Christ They were still following Christ. This is their church. I'm not labeling them as bad people, but Paul was wise enough to say, there's something that God wants me to do. They're not accepting of me like I'd want them to be. I'm going to discern that this is not the crowd that I need to join, even though they would be called disciples. There's something that God wants for me that will hinder me. He didn't approach it as well. I need to join. I didn't work out good with the disciples in Damascus. I need to repair my reputation. Maybe I can do it with the disciples in Jerusalem. Maybe this crowd can open doors for me. Maybe this crowd can validate me. Sadly, many are looking for a church or a group to validate what they do for Christ. But notice what happens. I love this. God bless Barnabas. Barnabas is just observing. He's just there. Barnabas sees Paul coming, and Barnabas is aware that they were suspicious of Paul. And Barnabas says, Paul, come with me. Paul, don't worry about these disciples. Let these disciples do what they're doing. This is not bad people. These are disciples. Let them do what they're going to do. This is not where you need to be. Verse 27, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. It'd be a shame to settle for the disciples when there was the apostles. That's not being critical of the disciples, but it's the apostles. And declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them, coming in and going out of Jerusalem. See, the problem we have sometimes is we discover a crowd of disciples and we don't really that we fit in with them. You know why? Because we've seen things they haven't seen. Paul had seen things they haven't seen. Paul had experiences they haven't had. Instead of embracing Paul and say, look what God is doing, they were afraid of Paul. And Barnabas, in his wisdom, said, Paul, I've got your crowd. And he took him to the apostles. Number four, the proven fit in with other proven. See, some of the men that have preached and will preach, and some we honored last night, they can be labeled as a troublemaker. Why can't you get along? I'll use them as examples so I don't have to use myself. It's not that Paul was making enemies. It's not that Paul was their enemy. It just wasn't where Paul fit. It's not the disciples' fault. They were not proven as Paul was. But Paul had wisdom enough to assay and study and discern and say, am I going to hurt them? Are they going to hurt me? Am I going to have liberty? Are they going to have liberty? And Barnabas, instead of saying, we need to mark this guy because we don't trust him, says, I know your crowd. I know the proven. I know those who saw Christ as you saw Christ. I know exactly who you need, Paul. Here's the crowd you need. And by the way, this may answer your question how you found yourself here tonight. Not that the apostles are here, but there is an element of us here who we just not bad people, good people. I thank God they're preaching the gospel. I thank God they're taking the stands for what they're standing. But God has taken some and all of us and had us walk a little bit different path. And we're not cookie cutters, and we're not all doing the same thing. And we've had different heartaches in our life, and we've had different seasons of proving. And God has put us through things because He has something specific for us. And sometimes it scares people. Sometimes it makes them afraid. sometimes because you didn't get here the same way I did, I don't know if we're on the same team. We can. These are disciples, but Paul said, I don't know if this is my crowd. But then Barnabas says, I have your crowd. The proven fit in with other proven. This has helped me not treat my brethren as enemies. I may not, quote unquote, we talk about that crowd. I'm not of any crowd. Everybody's in a crowd. It just may be 12 as those apostles. But everybody's in a crowd. I don't want to treat my brethren as enemies. But to prove that, I don't have to join the crowd where I cannot fully embrace what God has called me to do. You say, did this happen? Absolutely. I just wonder, that I'm supposing, that wonder if those disciples in Jerusalem got nervous because Paul was arguing with the Jews. Paul was arguing with the government. So that's working against us. We're lobbying the government to get some laws passed to make reaching Jerusalem easier. And if we're trying to rub shoulders and lobby the same people Paul is ticking off, because he's not worried about laws. He's saying, ye who crucified Jesus need to be born again. Hey, I'm not against you, disciples, but if I'm in the presence of a baby-killing politician, I feel obligated to say you need to repent. Amen. Well, I'm a little suspicious of you. I understand that, but God's had me walk a different path than you. God's had you walk a unique path. See, the proven fit in with other proven. That's why I quit trying to use the crowd to prop you up, to validate you. Did God save you? Did God call you? You don't need the blessings of another man of God. You don't need the approval of any group. You don't need the approval of this group. If God has called you and God has a place for you to serve, and you say, well, I may be stuck in the backside of some small town and I hear all these things and I want to grow and I want to reach people, but this isn't what I have. You do what God has for you to do, the way He has called you to do it, put you there to reach those people, and just focus on that. And don't worry about fitting in with the disciples of Jerusalem. Let the disciples of Jerusalem serve as God has them to serve. Do what God wants them to do. Pray for them. Cheer for them from afar. But that's not what God's called me to do. Barnabas says, Paul, come with me. And he says, fellas, I'm reading between the lines. Fellas, this is Paul. I'm vouching for him. And he tells them, declaring to them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. An amazing thing that is, the apostles didn't have the same suspicion of Paul that the others had. The reason is because those men had the same call on them. They had seen things by being with the Lord that the other disciples had not seen. And friend, the trial God's put you through, He's proven you The loneliness you endure, he's improving you. No, I don't feel like I fit in. I don't feel like I belong. Friend, I would dare say if we're all honest as preachers tonight, every one of us would say there's been that time in our life. But friend, let God prove you. You don't have to have somebody prop you up. If God has called you and God has commissioned you, which he has, you don't need the endorsement of a crowd. And in fact, the proven fit in with other proven. Then number five, let me just say, the proven make an impact while the propped up make the role. Don't seek the crowd to be propped up, to be validated. I'm not against crowds. Well, I've been a part of the right crowd, and there's been times it's been the large crowd. That's not always how God does it. Do we want to belong, or do we truly want to fulfill what God has put us on this earth to do? Do we want to belong? Are we willing to not? It's not even breaking fellowship with people. It's just saying, I need to move to what God has for me to do. And let God bring the people along that he has for me. Friend, I'm 50 years old and I've changed crowds more than I can remember. And it's not because I've changed my beliefs. It's because as God proves, he moves, and we can stay propped up or embrace the proving. Just as was preached this morning, Moses had to be on the backside of the desert to be proven. You've got to struggle some to be proven. Friend, tonight, be grateful for the opportunity to prove yourself. God may be having you sit and stay right where you're at and want you to hear something like you've already heard tonight. And he may say, you're not on the wrong path. You just need to be one-on-one with me. You need to get that feeling. You need to get that empowering. Let's be willing to prove ourselves and say, I'm going to do what God has called me to do. Proven or propped up? The disciples, the apostles, turned the world upside down. They had a unique call on their life. They would do mighty things. I imagine the And I know this is true, but those apostles did run into those disciples. There were things they were on the same page. Paul never sought the crowd. He sought the fulfilling of God's plan for his life. Friend, we let God prove us tonight as we conclude the service. I think there's a lot of times we miss what God has for us. Because we think it's always with the crowd. If you'll permit me, we've made some grave mistakes, in my opinion, over the last 4, 5, 8 years. Because we think we've got to have a crowd to change our government so that we can reach our cities. Amen. 12 men hazarded their lives and they turned their world upside down. We find no record of them trying to get Nero out before they went preaching. God put them together. And they said, listeners, I love that verse. He was with them, and they went in and out of the city. They went about their business. Friend, I hope you've met some new friends this week. Let's go in and out of the city, doing what God has called us to do. Father, use the message tonight. Use what's already been done. Father, may we allow ourselves to be at a place where we are happy with you, just being with you. And Father, I it's true, it's been said, it's been preached. We believe that we help each other, we encourage each other. But there's going to be times when we just have to be proven by you. And Father, it's not possible if we're being propped up in a crowd. It's got to be us and you. I pray tonight that you would continue to work in hearts. Friend, we stand to our feet tonight. The piano plays if God's spoken to you. Do you feel alone? It was preached earlier. Do you feel like you're toiling? You're doing what you're supposed to do, and it just seems like you're not getting anywhere?